This is Kristen Schaefer with Conversations with My Sisters. I'm so excited to talk to Carol today. Carol, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
The topic that I would like to ask you about is one that we all are aware of. I think that you have some gems to offer in regards to self-care. There's a lot of levels to it, right? What you eat, how much exercise you have, how you sleep or how much you sleep. If you take care of your skin, then there's a whole nother level that I think is what I really want to talk about. What do you think of when you think of self-care?
You're right that the obvious way that we think of self-care is having a bubble bath and going to the spa and exercise. But there's so many other ways that we have to take care of ourselves. There's spiritual, there's emotional.
Do you think that there are extremes to the idea of caring for yourself?
Yes, we should have a balance of looking after other people. That's what it makes parenting so amazing, is that we figure out that we really can take care of people for a bigger percentage of our lives than we did when we were single. It's such a refining time, but it's also scary sometimes when you lose yourself in your kids or you lose yourself in all the cares of parenting. There just has to be a balance. We were taught that, huh?
Yes, I think that, well, that's one of Dad's favorite words. He would often say, there needs to be balance. Look for the balance.
He was right.
Yes, and any good thing can be out of balance and can go to then an extreme. So an extreme I'm thinking of in self-care would be where, like you said, you're just constantly worried about yourself and you neglect other things that are more important. Then, of course, you can have too much selflessness where it gets towards self-deprivation or self-neglect. I have been on both ends of that scale at different times in my life. I remember a time, and you witnessed it. You saw it before I did, although we didn't ever discuss it. But I remember you asking me if I had an opinion about something. This was when I had been married for maybe 10 years, and I was so confused about how much to think, because I was so focused on pleasing my husband and my children that I wasn't thinking for myself. I remember you asking for an opinion, and I just had to come right out and tell you, I have no opinion on that. Do you remember when I was at that low?
Yes, you had some difficulties early in your marriage where you were having a hard time finding yourself, I would say. But don't we all? I found that to be the case for me too, where you just can't form a sentence and you wonder, will I ever be normal or whole?
It's true. My daughter Kay has 4 little kids right now, and she says her mommy mush brain is what she calls it.
That is exactly what it is, a mommy mush brain. Good. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. But selflessness is required in parenting. So what we want to find is balance, and it's hard to find, but you learn it through trying.
Right. You know, it's funny. It's so different at different stages. When I was surrounded by little babies, what I wanted was to have my husband take them on an outing and me stay in my house that I had tried so hard to create, but I never got to enjoy without people all around. So that was something that I wanted then. But later in life, when I have fewer people around, I want to leave my house and go find my friends. I'll travel great distances to have lunch with my friends.
That's a form of self-care, to have social experiences.
I once had a counselor who said that not spend too much time in one of the 5 dimensions of wellness. The 5 dimensions of wellness are physical, intellectual, emotional, social, spiritual. And if you spend too much time in one of them, then you'll be way out of balance. Mm-hmm. And really easy for me to like spend time in my head just thinking or analyzing, and then not enough time either doing something physical or doing something social. It's just really important for all of us to find a balance. That's a fun place to find a balance. Find equal time in each of those 5 things.
That is concrete advice. There is some brilliance in the Lord's counsel to have the youth setting a goal in each of those areas, because that's the way the Savior grew. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's all in that verse, how he grew as a youth. It's four of those five areas that you just mentioned.
That's amazing. Yes. So there's a beautiful example of how we should be.
Let's talk more about the social side of the self-care spectrum, Carol. All of us hopefully have friends from different backgrounds and different faiths. I think you're really good about standing up for your values, which is part of being kind to yourself, because you are respecting yourself. You're respecting your values, even when you're around girls who may disagree with you. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, my friends also don't back down on what they believe, and I respect them for that. You don't need other people to be just like you in order to get along. That's the beauty of having self-respect. You're confident in your own position, and you don't need everybody to have the same position. I love that. I love variety. My friends and I, we have plenty to talk about besides what we disagree on.
Awesome. Another part of showing self-respect is having boundaries.
Having boundaries did not come naturally to me. Part of it was growing up in a big family. Our parents were really organized and had high expectations for us. So a certain amount of order was in our home. So coming out of our house, I had to actually work on boundaries.
Whose job is it to take care of me?
Oh, I love this topic so much. I've been studying it for so long. I followed Brooke Castillo from the life coaching school. And she says that your whole job is to take care of your own needs and then show up to love others. If you require other people to take care of your needs, then there's just this weird dynamic that occurs. But if you take care of your own needs and then show up in love, then it creates synergy that, you know, is boundless. I've been trying so hard to do that and just to watch for what I need and take care of it and show up with love. I think I've taken decades, but I'm much more successful than I used to be.
Brooke Castillo is a pro at this. In fact, I listened to one of her podcasts recently, and she was talking about how confusion about this can affect our marriages. If we think that it's our husband's job to take care of us or to make us feel loved, then we're setting ourselves up for disappointment, because it's too big of a burden.
Right.
They can't read our minds. They don't know what we need every single second.
And they have their own needs. And then what are we all supposed to just be reading each other's minds and taking care? Like, the person who is most capable of taking care of me is me.
Exactly. That's right. And if you look at it from, I'm going to fulfill my goals and my dreams, then my husband will just be a fun person to do it with. It relieves all this difficulty between expectations, unspoken or spoken, that we're placing on that other person.
Yes.
Now we can just enjoy who he is.
That's right. I think that was brilliant. I'm so grateful to Brooke Castillo for verbalizing so many little gems for me, and Jody Moore. I love them both.
I agree.
They don't know me. Man.
I'm sure if we saw them at a yogurt shop, then it would feel like they should be saying hi to us, because we would recognize them right away.
Exactly.
So let's come back to the other side of this pendulum and talk about Christ. He says, lose your life and you will find it. Where does that fit in with self-care?
I was saying that I know I'm the best person to take care of me, but really, Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, they actually do the very best job of taking care of me. So if I lose my life by saying, thy will be done, please guide me in my thoughts and my actions today, I will be directed in a better way than I could have done by myself. I have a favorite quote from Shakespeare. It's from Hamlet. It says, there's a divinity that shapes our ends, rough-hew them how we will. For me, that has been really true, where I'm hacking away at my life and I'm trying to fashion something, but there's a divinity, God, he can come along and smooth out all the roughness. He's the only person who can do that. He and Jesus Christ are the divine creators who know me best. So I'm happy to put my life in their hands so that they can make the most of me.
Beautiful. He is the most marvelous, trustworthy advocate we could ever ask for. We want to go to God. We want to go home to our heavenly home. We want to return to Him, but we need Jesus Christ's help.
I access His love by my trust in Him and by my thoughts of Him and His grace throughout my day. He has rescued me. And I am perfectly aware of that. He's rescued me from horrible thoughts and all kinds of traffic in my brain and lack of love for myself. He's rescued me from all of those things. He does care most about me. And so it's my thoughts, my prayers, it's my willingness to do His will. Those things are how I access His grace and power in my life. And I feel redeemed by Him through the peace that I have experienced.
Do you have any hints about talking to your adult children about the redeeming love and help and protection that comes from Jesus Christ?
Mode of teaching about Jesus Christ is to teach how to love. And my kids are very loving anyway. They have seen me high strung, and they have seen me in the most recent years very loving. That is how I am reflecting Jesus Christ's love in my life by loving others. And they have seen me do that a lot. Every child needs to feel cherished by their parents, or they will be hunting for that feeling forever. And so I try really hard to show them that I cherish them. I do cherish them. It is because I feel cherished by Jesus Christ that I know what that feels like. That's what I'm trying to emulate.
How beautiful. Another advocate that we have are counselors. They help us see things from a perspective of truth and intelligence that can really help us in ways that we can't help ourselves. I've experienced counseling. I feel like journaling is another form of counseling. Listening to podcasts is another form of counseling. Many of the people that I listen to on podcasts are counselors. It's a resource none of us would want to ignore. You have referred to mental management in our conversation. We all work to manage our thoughts so that our thoughts are a tool to help us become the person we want to become. Because, of course, our thoughts can hijack us. I've wondered, what if all of my thoughts came from two different sources, but not from me, and it was my job to decide which ones to hold on to? Now, I know that my frontal cortex creates thoughts, and I can generate thoughts, but when I talk about managing my thoughts, I'm deciding which ones to believe, which ones not to believe, which ones are true, which ones aren't true, which ones I want to have speak for me, and which ones aren't me. I can say, that isn't me. Like, just yesterday, I had a judgmental thought, and I'm grateful that I grabbed it. I thought, I'm being judgmental. But what if that didn't come from me? What if that was coming from something else? It's easier for me to say, that isn't me. And almost as soon as I think that, then it's easier for me to dismiss it, because that isn't me.
Right. I pulled up this scripture that I love. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So yes, you can say if it's not power, love, and sound mind, if it's a spirit of fear, it's not from you. It's not from God either. And so yes, you should work to replace it if you can. And it does take practice. You know, one tool that I have found lately is because of our niece who did so much summer sales. She did amazing. It's Ellie. Ellie, you did so good. She taught me to do positive affirmations. That's one of the tools in her toolbox for her career. It took me a couple of years to find an app that I liked. I did find one. It's called Think Up. I'm sure there's plenty, but I just didn't know what to look for. It makes me say kind thoughts about me. It records it and then replays it back to me. And it's very powerful to hear my own self say positive and powerful thoughts. I needed that so badly. It has helped me immensely. It's shocking. If you could try a positive affirmation for yourself. It's wonderful to hear your own voice saying these things. It makes them eventually believable.
Neato. A author that speaks on this effectively is Dennis Parker. One of his books that I've read is The Emotional Skills and Tools of Positive Mind Management. In the middle of his book, he has lists of positive affirmations put into categories. There are affirmations for the healthy body image and weight control. There are affirmations for opportunities, affirmations for self-confidence, self-control, self-belief. And it goes on and on, all these different categories of positive affirmations. One of them, because we're talking about self-care, affirmations for appreciation of self. I am filled with light, love, and peace. This is one that I've memorized and I've used over and over again. It actually is a really good thing for me to fill my mind with when I've gotten rid of a bad thought, to then say, I am filled with light, love, and peace. Another positive affirmation is, I treat myself with kindness and respect. I choose to be my best self. I am free to shine, to be a light to others, a leader. I'll share one more. I appreciate the qualities, traits, and talents that make me unique.
I love those.
Thank you. I'm not surprised that positive affirmations have helped you too, Carol.
Yes, it's just one of the tools in the toolbox. And I'm sure there's so many more that we don't know, but that I feel really good about changing the way I talk to myself. I think that people who have become masters of their own self-care are easier to be around, and they have more love to give because they don't have deep pain. They figured it out, taken care of it, and now they have love to give. And I want to be one of those people. Thanks for asking me to talk about this topic.
You're welcome. Thank you for being willing to share so much.
You're welcome.
I have many takeaways from our conversation, Carol. One is that self-respect means being confident in your own position. I love how you talked about Jesus Christ being the master of your life, that when we follow him, his will, that we are in a much better position than if we tried to do everything by ourselves.
We become his hands in sharing love.
We hope that what we've shared today will bring you some joy and more balance in your life as you reflect on being like Jesus Christ and developing yourself in all of the areas that you can. We love you. We know that Heavenly Father loves you. Have a great day.